The Holocaust, the systematic killing of 6 million Jews by Germany's Nazi regime, stands as one of the most horrific events in human history. But why did it happen?
In the 7 decades since the Holocaust, some historians have said it's unexplainable, and some people have said we shouldn't try to explain it and risk justifying what happened.
Our next guest takes a different view. He says it's vital that we try to come to grips with what led to the Holocaust. Dan McMillan has been exploring this issue for years. He shares his thoughts in his new book, How Could This Happen? Explaining the Holocaust. Dan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Rob.
Well, as we mentioned, there's been a reluctance to try to explain this. You quote a Holocaust survivor, Primo Levi, warning that, quote, to understand is almost to justify. You don't agree. Why?
Well, because I think that if there's one thing that we've learned, well, there's a lot of things we learned studying the Holocaust, but that every participant, or at least every German participant in the Holocaust, acted entirely with free will, faced no threat whatsoever of punishment, indeed often was even explicitly assured that no punishment would follow if they refused to obey an order to kill. It was always possible, indeed easy, to opt out of killing if you didn't want to do so. So no amount of explanation can relieve these people of their moral responsibility. So that isn't a concern for me.
While there were other genocidal killings in the 20th century, you say the Holocaust was a genocide like no other. What sets it apart?
I guess what sets it apart is that the Holocaust was an absolutely complete negation of the idea that human life has any kind of inherent worth and meaning. And I guess what I mean by that, to give sort of concrete examples of that, it's the only genocide in which the population was targeted for complete biological extinction. The only time that an ethnic group was targeted for complete extinction, I mean, not only did they plan to kill the 11 million that they thought lived in Europe, but had they won the war in Europe and had been strong enough to overcome the U.S., we generally agree that the next step would have been to strike at every single Jewish population on Earth. They looked at Jews as if they were kind of like smallpox, a virus that you had to eradicate everywhere so it would never grow back. And that's kind of one example. The other example, I guess, is sort of the radical way that they denied their victims humanity, like by reducing them to the status of material objects and by characterizing them as vermin, as microbes, as bacilli, and so on. So those would be some of the concrete examples.
So starting to touch on some of the explanations people have offered over the years, was this something uniquely about the German people, about German culture?
I argue pretty strongly against that. I mean, there clearly are reasons why it happened in Germany and not elsewhere, and they're really rooted in some very specific flaws in the political system and also in a lot of bad luck that made it impossible for Germany to establish democracy until relatively late in the game, until 1918, and that and other factors helped explain how someone like Hitler could come into power. But historians, tried for decades to figure out if there was something sort of uniquely pathological or wrong with the Germans, and by the middle of the 1990s, we kind of all gave up on that.
Why were Jews targeted specifically? Anti-Semitism, of course, was nothing new to Nazi Germany, centuries even of anti-Semitic pogroms and other killings, banishments, things like that. But why the Jews specifically in the Nazi Holocaust?
You know, there were so many different types of anti-Semitism in Germany and in Europe at the time, but there was one particular strand that led very directly to the Holocaust already, and already kind of began in the 1890s, and that was the accusation that the Jews were the creators of Marxism, that they were responsible for the existence of socialist and communist parties, and that Jews controlled an international conspiracy to dominate the nations of the world by sort of dividing and conquering, by setting social class against social class, by promoting Marxism, by promoting the Marxist theory of class struggle. And the question is why were the Jews a likely target for this kind of fantasy about them as the leaders of this international conspiracy? One was simply that Karl Marx was of Jewish ancestry, and that's a convenient peg to hang it on. A second is that there had been a long Christian tradition of seeing the Jews as kind of the spawn of Satan, and you can see these secular conspiracy theories as kind of an echo of this earlier Christian idea of the Jews as this ultimate evil. Third point is that the Jews were an international minority with, you know, communities in every European country, and that kind of lent a service plausibility to the idea that they could coordinate across national borders in a conspiracy. And I guess the last was just that they were so successful in so many endeavors, and in particular in Germany in the years before World War One, in the media. They were very, very prominent in newspaper and book publishing, and that created, gave rise to fears of Jewish influence and the idea that the Jews had the ability to set the political agenda and promote Marxism through their newspapers. So that's, I think those are kind of the obvious factors that might explain that.
And I always wonder about the impact of nationalism, and a particularly radical nationalism, where you're defining this category of, in this case, Germanhood, and then you've got these people who don't fit your definition of Germanhood, in this case the Jews. This also often applied to the Romani, commonly known as Gypsies, Masons, mm-hmm. and others. Was that, do you think that was part of the explanation of why there was a convenient scapegoat there?
Yeah, you know, I think the way that worked was that the biggest political problem in Germany from the 1880s down to 1918, where Germany is, it was called the German Empire, and it was an authoritarian political system where most of the power lay with a hereditary emperor, the Kaiser. And starting in the 1880s, there was a very threatening challenge to this political system from the Socialist Party, the German Socialist Party, that was the largest in Europe and that was very radical. And Germany's ruling class and its imperial government pursued a strategy of trying to contain socialism and trying to prevent its spread by, in effect, saying to Germans, to the German people, let's not be workers, let's not be middle class, let's not be upper class, let's not be aristocracy, let's just all be German and unite on the basis of what we have in common, which is our German blood. And one way to define the German blood is to say, well, the Jews don't belong to it, they're not of our blood. And let's pull together, let's unite as Germans against our enemies. And thus you had a very aggressive nationalistic foreign policy that was an important cause of World War One. And at home, this was part of the use of the accusation that the Jews were responsible for Marxism. The Jews are the enemy because they are dividing us against each other. Let's all us Germans pull together against people who are not German, including the Jews. I think that's kind of how it worked politically.
There's a long-running debate in history between the role of big forces and the role of prominent individuals. And I want to bring up Adolf Hitler here. Would the Holocaust have, I mean, it's hard to answer a question like this, but would the Holocaust have happened without him?
That's one point. You know, you're always on shaky ground when you talk about things that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But historians are usually reluctant to engage in counterfactuals, but you can ask just almost any important historian of the Holocaust or Nazi Germany. They all agree without Hitler, the Holocaust simply could not have happened. So he didn't do it all by himself. He had a lot of help, and there are so many other factors in hundreds of thousands of, to some extent, tens of millions of Germans who bore some responsibility. But it is true, without Hitler, it couldn't have happened. And if, for example, he'd been killed in a nearly successful assassination attempt in the fall of 1939, we probably would not have had World War II in Europe, and we certainly would have had the Holocaust.
And he tied together a lot of the threads you were bringing up earlier, the mm-hmm. anti-Semitism, the anti-communism. Also, you write about his desire for Lebensraum, room for the German people to live mm-hmm. in Eastern Europe, where many Jews and where a communist government was. He was the one who synthesized it all together in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, he pulled it together in a synthesis that I think most people at the time would not have found terribly impressive intellectually, but he was in keeping. There were a lot of other people on the right wing of German politics and also in the military who talked about the need for Lebensraum, that is living space, in the East, the taking territory away from Poland and from the Soviet Union so that the Germans could settle and breed large families and make Germany larger and militarily stronger. His synthesis, pulling it all together, I don't think would have impressed anyone except that he was in charge of Germany and he was able to act on it and implement it.
You mentioned the couple hundred thousand people who were part of this genocidal effort. if you took everyday decent people, maybe from our place and time, United States 2014, you put them in a situation like Nazi Germany, is there something inherently about us that would step back and say, no, we're not going to do this? Or in that context, would we react any better than the Germans of the 30s and 40s?
Well, if we actually grew up in that context, we wouldn't be ourselves. Mm. We wouldn't be we. I mean, I think if you were to take, if somehow someone could crazily establish a dictatorship in America today, but with the American people being as we are today, with our commitment to democracy and to equal rights and the protection of the rights of minorities, such a dictator, no matter how powerful, could not find people to participate in a genocide and would not find that the American people would be willing to tolerate it. I think in that sense, and I think that's equally true of Germany today as well, if that answers your question.
But the people of Germany weren't uniquely monstrous. They were in a specific place and time that led them to something like the Holocaust.
I think it is true that the political development of Germany from the 1880s down to the point when Hitler took power was already very destructive. And, you know, anti-Semitism had become a political issue in a way that it never was here. And the German people, a lot of them were nationalistic in a way that was ugly and dangerous. That's never been the case here. But nonetheless, I think it's when looking at, I view the Holocaust as unique, but it seems to me that in explaining it, it's not that the Germans are unique, it's that the circumstances in which they found themselves.
We'll have to leave it there. Dan McMillan, author of How Could This Happen? Explaining the Holocaust.